Our first reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, excuse me, and 16 through 23. And I follow up on the prayer, hard stuff to listen to, some of it. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. The word of the Lord. Our second lesson is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and verses 9 through 18. Listen to the word as actually spoke by Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of the field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48, and it's a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And last week, we looked at Jesus talking about the law, some of the law that we just heard read, of not committing murder, not stealing, not bearing false vows or promises. And it continues on today as Jesus continues to talk about these things. And as I said last year, these things, the law is about living in community. How do we get along with one another? How do we live in community with God? How do we live in community with one another? And all that we just read how we live in community with one another. And it continues on with Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn also the other. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. You heard him. Be perfect. No sweat, right? You heard from Leviticus. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Easy peasy, right? I mean, we got this, don't we? We might as well just pack it up and go home early today. Wrong. We know better. You know, last week we thought it was hard. Anger equals murder. Lust equals adultery. Don't go making vows, especially vows that you don't plan on keeping. Those are hard enough, but now Jesus offers some of the most radical words, not just in the Bible, but that you'll find anywhere. Don't repay evil with evil. Don't resist an evildoer. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. You know, if they're going to sue you, give them more than what they're asking for. Give to those who are in need. Give to those who ask of you. Radical, radical words. And they go against everything that's inside of us. You know, the world tells us to look out for ourselves and our own. And Jesus says, no, I have a different way for you to live. But it's much easier to be mean, to hold grudges, to not care for others who are in need. I mean, if I give to everybody that asks of me, I'm going to be broke. If I turn the other cheek, they're going to hit me again. How do we do this? Don't even get me started on loving your enemy. Because if you love your enemy, they're just going to take advantage of you and they're going to be mean to you. Sounds like Jesus is telling us to just be weak, to be pushovers, to be doormats. He can't mean what he's saying, can he? Or can he? Let me tell you what I don't think this is saying. I don't think Jesus is telling us that we are to be weak, that we are to be pushovers, doormats, have a poor self-image of ourselves. In fact, quite the opposite. He's telling us to be that we are strong, powerful, that we are children of the Almighty God. What better identity can we have than that? He's telling us that we are not to give tacit approval to violence or hatred. In fact, we're to do just the opposite. Stand up against it. But that's not the way of the world. way of the world is to respond back to violence. You know, they did an experiment one time. They got a group of people and they put them in a circle. And they told the first person to hit the person to the right. And then that person next to him was to hit with equal force the person next to them. And around the circle it was to go. They had to stop the experiment halfway through because the punches became so violent they were causing harm. Given a little bit more than what I received. My sister and I played this game. I don't know how we got into this game. But we would tap each other on the arm. And then, I'm sure she's the one that started this. It couldn't have been me. And then the next person would tap back a little bit harder. And back and forth it would go. Until my sister would haul off and hit me with everything she had. Well, that gave me permission to haul off and hit her with everything I had. I was bigger and stronger. And it always resulted in her crying and going and telling our mother and me getting in trouble. It always ended that way. You'd think I would learn. That's how the world responds to violence. You keep going back and adding a little bit more. No turning the other cheek. You know, turning the other cheek is how you respond to an insult. It's not the beginning of a fist fight, although it can quickly escalate into that. But it was a slap with the back of the hand to the face. It was an insult. And Jesus says, we don't retaliate from that. We turn the other cheek. Violence does not change the heart. I'm not a pacifist. I know that there are times that there should be a just war. There are times that violence is needed. But it should always be the last result because it will never change people's hearts. It may suppress the anger and the hate for a while, but eventually it'll come back. What changes the heart, what changes hate, is love. And that's what Jesus is getting at in this passage. When Jesus tells us that we are to be perfect, he's not talking about us becoming totally sinless, that we score A pluses on all of our tests, all our temptations. I think if he was telling us that, he wouldn't have said that anger equals murder, lust equals adultery, those things that we don't seem to do very well with as it is. But I think what Jesus is doing is offering a vision of the world as God intends it to be, where we do love one another, where we do live in community, where we do not respond to insults and violence with anger and hatred, but that we love others. Jesus is not talking fighting fire with fire. That only gets things more inflamed and burning. He talks about fighting fire with water instead of responding to hatred with anger and additional hatred. You respond with love that changes the cycle around, changes the way things are working. And you say, well, that's a nice thing to say. It doesn't really work. It's going back to what I said earlier. It's just becoming a pushover, a doormat, someone that can be abused. But I would suggest to you that it does work. And I'll offer three times that it has worked in a large, huge scale. The first is in India with Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi was not a Christian, but he loved the teachings of Jesus. And he took these particular teachings that we read today and he applied them to the movement in India to receive their freedom, independence from England. And they went through tough times. They went through violent times, but they responded in nonviolent ways. I want to read three quotes from Gandhi. "Nonviolence is the greatest force at the disposal of mankind. It is mightier than the mightiest weapon of destruction devised by the ingenuity of man." And then he also said, "An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind." And then I like this one. "First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win." The second movement was the civil rights movement in our own country and Martin Luther King Jr. And most of us lived through those very turbulent times. Here's a statement from Martin Luther King Jr. "To those who hate us, we shall say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering with our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we shall continue to love you. Throw us in jail, and we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at midnight and beat us and leave us as half dead, and we will still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer." And we know that's exactly what happened. Because with television, we began to see the violence that was being done to those who were resisting segregation and suppressing the vote. And we saw people who were suffering, who were being, the dogs being attacked by the dogs, having the fire hoses put on them, being beaten with batons. And they didn't fight back. And it changed a nation. The third one is South Africa with the apartheid system. Again, defeated through nonviolence. Let me tell you a story about Desmond Tutu. He was preaching one day, and the pews were filled with people, but the walls were lined with soldiers and police ready to clamp down and stop this if it got out of hand. And so Bishop Tutu was preaching away and talking about the evils of apartheid and how it was going to be defeated. And in the midst of that, he turned to the police, pointing a finger at them, and said, "You may be powerful, very powerful, but you are not God. And God cannot be mocked. You have already lost." You could have cut the tension in the room with a knife in the room. It was, how would people respond? What was going to happen? How would the police and the soldiers respond? And Bishop Tutu came out from behind the pulpit and he flashed a big smile and they started to bounce up and down. And he said to them, "Therefore, since you have already lost, we are inviting you to come join the winning side." And the place went wild. Dancing in the pews, shouting out. And the soldiers and the police just kind of melted away and left. When we fight evil with nonviolence, when we fight evil with love, we are taking the power away from those who are trying to do the evil, to those who are holding on to the hate. We take their power away from them and we show them to be weak. I read some disturbing news this week that after an 11-year low in 2014, an 11-year low of hate crimes, that now hate crimes are on the rise. That from 2015 to 2016, hate crimes or hate groups have grown from 892 to 317. The anti-Muslim groups grew from 33 to 101. Groups that are hating others. And I would suggest to you that the way to defeat these hate groups is by creating love groups. And what is the Church of Jesus Christ if it is not a love group? If we are not going to stand up against hatred, anger, and hate, if we're not going to join with others who are willing to also stand up against these groups, and I think the secret is we don't act violently toward those groups, but we start to love those groups, smother them with our love. Reminds me of Will Campbell, Reverend Will Campbell. He was very active in the civil rights movement, marching to end segregation, allow blacks to vote. And then God did one of those funny things that God likes to do. God sent him to a new call, I believe it was in Tennessee, to minister to some of the most racist people you could imagine. Where he had to learn to love those people who were so filled with hate. He had to love those people who were so violently opposed to those things that he had stood for. And that's what he did. He loved them, cared for them, sought to change their love, their anger, their hatred into love. But that's not all that we do. We stand with those who are being hated and bullied and mistreated. We stand with the Jews and the Muslims that are being terrorized. We stand with the refugees and the immigrants who are being portrayed as so bad and evil. We stand with the people who's judged by the color of their skin, the blacks and the Hispanics. We stand with the gay community who are being hated. We stand with anybody that are being bullied and being hated and say that we will not stand for this. Where there's hatred, we will exercise love. I would invite you to become part of our conversation on race, because this is what we're dealing with. Saying we are tired of standing on the sidelines with the racial concerns that are going on in our country, and we want to get involved. Come join us. You'll hear more about that next week. But Jesus tells us a different way to live. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love others. Love your enemies. Be perfect. No sweat, right? Let's pray. Lord, being perfect is a lot of sweat, because it doesn't come naturally to us. We resist it. We fight it. It comes with a cost. These are the ways that you have given us to live. To love our enemies. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Give to those who ask of us. Help us understand what it means to live this way. So that indeed we might be perfect as you in heaven are already perfect. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.